Amen. God wants us to know that He supplied all of our need, that He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He wants us to know that He's with us, that He builds us up, He encourages us. What wonderful words. And He warned us about the adversary, always there in our face. And you know what the adversary likes to do? The adversary likes to jump up on your shoulder and whisper in your ear, it's not true. The adversary likes to talk you out of God's word. He likes to tell you lies. He likes to distract you. He likes to get your attention. But as we continue to look into His word and we listen to His word and be doers of His word and stay put in faith, we will see His word come to pass. You know, you're planting a little seed pretty soon, come March, April. And you got to have faith that that seed that you plant in that soil is going to grow. Now, you can't see that thing growing. And you can look at that soil, and that soil is going to look the same today, tomorrow, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. And you'll be tempted to say, oh, it's not going to work. Oh, it's not going to grow. Oh, it must have failed. But you know what? The rain comes and the sun shines, and a month or so down the road, you know what you get peeping through the ground? A little green sprout. And then you know what happens? It grows and it grows, and after so long it produces what? Fruit. See? But if you plant something and you look for 2 weeks and you don't see any fruit, and you walk away, you know what happens? Somebody comes along and picks your banana, if it was a banana. And they get to enjoy the fruit, and you didn't. You know why? Because the Bible says that after you have done the will of God, you have need of patience to see it come to pass. And a lot of times it's in the patience, in the faithful, remaining, and peacefully waiting on God to see the fruit come to pass. It's wonderful, isn't it? Tonight I'm going to go through some things with you, and this was inspired by Jimmy's teaching last week, and I started to look at certain things in the Word of God, and it's going to take a couple different teachings to set the groundwork for it, but we're going to look at power in His name. Power in His name. And like I say, last week Jimmy taught about what's in a name. Talking about Jesus Christ. And it got me to thinking, and I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 1. If you have a Bible, if you don't, just listen. See, because we heard that we were complete in Him tonight. We sang about that, right? And it's because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. And it's because that we have the authority to use His name that we can bring to pass signs, miracles, and wonders in our lives and the lives of others. But if you don't use the name of Jesus Christ, if you don't use the name of Jesus, you're not going to bring nothing to pass in His name. See? You have to use it. You know what that means? That means you have to speak it out. Speak it out. Instead of wondering what's going on, instead of thinking about the obstacles that you're facing, you have the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus and speak to that problem and command it in His name to get fixed. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 36, or 26, pardon me, we read about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So we have an angel that was sent on a divine mission, and he was sent to a specific place. And the place that he was sent to was a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And I was only sent to a specific place. He was sent to a specific person with a specific message. Verse 27 says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was what? So you got a name of a city called Nazareth. And you got a name of a lady, and her name is what?
Mary.
The angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, there's a great lesson to learn. See? Here she had this angel. The angel's name was Gabriel. And he was dispatched from God. Now that's a miracle. And this is a miraculous encounter. And what's going to become of this is a wonderful thing. And yet, her initial response to what God was beginning to reveal in her life was one where she was troubled at his saying. She was troubled at his saying. So that tells me that sometimes when God is at work, you may be troubled at his saying. See? Because Mary was troubled at his saying. And no one can argue that this wasn't a godly thing. And a godly angel with a godly message. And there's nothing wrong with being troubled at a saying. See, the devil wants you to be troubled, then he wants you to run with that trouble, and then he wants you to run away. But Mary was smarter than that. Although she was troubled at his saying, she stayed faithful, she stayed put, and she said, let me see what's going to develop of this. And she was cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. She was thinking about it. Is this good? Is this bad? What if this? What is that? And, you know, there's not a lot of records of women having angels appearing to them. I know that Samson's mommy had an angel appear, and I know that Gideon, this sort of thing, but not in those days around that town, the way things were going. This is some 400 years since there's been any written revelation, any revelation given since Malachi, you know? Well, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That must have blessed her heart. Say, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his what?
Name.
His name, Jesus. The message was for Gabriel to tell this young lady she was going to have a baby and it was going to be a boy and that God wanted this child to be called by the name of Jesus. See? The word Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. That's what the word Jesus means. Now listen. If you were going to have a child, right, you'd want to give that child a good name, wouldn't you? If you were a normal parent, you wouldn't want to call the child stupid. That's its name. You wouldn't want to call the child, I don't know, Satan or Rover. You don't do that if you're a good parent, right? You want to give the child a good name, a strong name. Maybe name the child after someone who was a man or a woman of integrity and meant much to you. A lot of us have our grandparents' names and named in honor of them. See? You want to give a child a name that they can be proud of. Right? You don't want to call them Sue, like Johnny Cash, and then leave and say you're on your own. That's not a good name to name a boy, right? It's okay if it's a girl, I guess. Now, if you as a parent would do this for your child, and think about it, right? Would you not think that God Almighty would do the same, right? Especially, you wouldn't want to call your child Adolf around the 40s, 50s. That wasn't a popular name back then, see? Or Beelzebub. Come here, Beelzebub. See, a name has things associated with it. The name that God chose to call his son was Jesus. And that name means Jehovah is salvation. That's what the name Jesus means. Jehovah is salvation. Don't you think that God put some thought into what he was going to call his only begotten of Mary? Now, I know we all have sons and daughters, and we have names, right? But don't you think God put some thought into it? Now, this guy's going to be the one who's going to save the world. He's going to save us from our sins. He's going to be the one that accomplishes all of what the scriptures foretold from Genesis 3:15 up until this point, including what was written of him in the book of Isaiah. Okay? This is the guy that's going to do that. So this is what God knows. And God says, what am I going to call this boy child? What am I going to call this man child? And he said, I'm going to call his name Jesus. That was his name. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus. Jesus was the name given to this boy, this male child, the one who would accomplish everything that was written in the scriptures. Okay? That's not a weak name. That's not a humiliated name. It's not a name of humiliation. That's a name, as you're going to see, associated with peace, associated with power, associated with miracles, associated with love, associated with teaching, with strength. As a matter of fact, the name of Jesus is associated with every good thing that God is. Never once is the name of Jesus ever used and associated with a bad thing. Unless you were a devil spirit. Then you said, I know who thou art, Jesus, thou Son of God. But even that is a good thing for us. Every time it's used, and those terms that are associated with it are all positive, wonderful, good things. It's a good name. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Another record with regards to the birth of Jesus Christ. And in verse 18 it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, privately. See? So, sense knowledge-wise, to look at the situation, you have a wife that you haven't had sex with, she's pregnant, it's of the Holy Ghost, and you gotta either figure it out or take off. Now, you know, past court rulings, you can go and they set precedents of this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. There was none to go back. She couldn't say, well, look, Joseph, you know, 20 years ago it happened to so-and-so down the street, and 30 years ago it happened to... No, she was the first one, the first virgin that was with child from the Holy Spirit. Tough situation, right? Sense knowledge-wise. And here's another thing, you know. Now, where is Joseph going to go in his mind? Since now it's wise to look at the thing on the surface, he was dead right and had every right to just say, you're out of your mind. Don't give me that God stuff. I don't want to hear it. This is the facts. The facts were what? She was pregnant. And it wasn't by him, right? They were the facts. But was God involved in it? Yeah. Yeah. See this young couple, as they started out, you know, you throw rice, and you give them money, and they have flowers. You send them on a honeymoon today, right? Not these guys. These guys didn't start out like that. These guys started out going uphill, right? Dragging an anchor behind them. They had to overcome a lot of things. And at any time, if they had stopped and quit and gave up, guess what? Would have been a couple more books in the Bible, I guess, or something. But they didn't. They chose. They made a choice. They made a decision to stay put on the Word and to believe God. Even in the face of 100% fact, they still chose to believe God. And they walk forward in that belief, in faith. Well, while he thought on these things, verse 20, what did he do? He thought about it. He meditated. He stayed put. He started to go over it in his mind. He was thinking. He was seeking an answer. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their what? See, it just wasn't enough that Mary was informed with the information that you're going to have a kid and you're going to call his name Jesus. See? Because in the biblical culture, you know who got the name the kid? The father did. The father did. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Luke 1, 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her what? Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel. These guys were busy back then. They probably formed a union. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell what? Scared again, right? Well, I guess you'd be frightened if you're in somewhere where nobody else is supposed to be. It just appears to you. And the angel says unto him, same thing that the angel said unto Mary, what? Yeah. Fear not. Fear not. And that's always God's word to you. Don't be afraid. Fear not. That's God's word to you. Now, what are you going to do with God's word? You got a choice. You see, Mary said, okay, when she was turned and cast in her mind. And the angel said unto her, fear not. And Mary got it. Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth, verse 13, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name what?
John.
See? Again, the angel's prophesying, just like he did with Mary, your wife's going to have a baby to this man, and you're going to call his name John. You're going to call his name John. Now, if you know anything about the record of the birth of John the Baptist, you know that the lady said, going to call his name John, and Zacharias couldn't talk, right? So he beckoned, and they gave him what? A little pad, a chalkboard, whatever. And when he wrote the name of the child down, that's what the child was going to be called, because it was the father's job to name the child. And as soon as he wrote the word John down on that pad, what happened? Right, and he prophesied. See? That's what he did. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called what?
Jesus.
Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. He was given a name before he was even conceived in the womb. And the name was given to Mary, and the angel gave it to Mary. And who gave that name to the angel?
God did.
Could God say, like he said with the case of Elizabeth, I want his name to be John? He could have. Because John's a good name and it has a biblical meaning. Could he have said, I want his name to be Isaiah? Or I want his name to be Ezekiel? Or Samuel? They're all great names, right? Or Elisha. They're all powerful names. How about Moses? He could have said, I want his name to be Moses. That's a powerful name. That's a good name, right? How about David? That was his grandfather down the road. Came from the house of David. So by rights, he could have said, David, that's a good name. Solomon was a good name. A lot of different names he could have picked. But he picked the name Jesus. And Jesus is a good name because God picked it. So it's confirmed. His name was called Jesus. His name was called Jesus. He was from the town of Nazareth. Sometimes in those days, they would associate people with the places that they come from. Many times people have said Nick from Norristown. Many times. Judas from Iscariot. See? This sort of thing. Jesus was from Nazareth. Now I want to go into something that I want to teach you. I want to teach you the difference between a name and a title. A name and a title. A name is what somebody or something is called. It's a word, term, or phrase by which someone or something is known and distinguished from other people or things. A name, lectern, chair, flag, ceiling, light, clock, table, horn, lighthouse. They're names. Name, Steve, Missy, John, Mary. That's name. That's your name. That's given to you. And Mary distinguishes her from John. That's the name that's been given you. That's a name. Now a title. A title is a designation added to a name. Okay? It's a designation added to a name. It's a word added to. In our day and time, usually it precedes, but it can also follow the individual's name. To indicate, it's a designation added to a name to indicate his or her rank, social status, profession, or as a courtesy, etc., etc., etc. Mr. John Ludwig. Mrs. John Ludwig. Mrs. Mary Ludwig. Understand? Teacher Lynn Hadley. Lynn Hadley, the teacher. Her name isn't teacher. Her name is Lynn. And in this case, Hadley. But a designation added to that, her title is, she's a teacher. She also holds a degree, a college degree of some sort. Steve Kortzik, the electrician. Understand? Engineer Brent Gerhardt. This sort of thing. His name is an engineer. That's his title that he held in the position where he was working. It's a G-rated sermon, so I'll use one of my lesser names. Dingbat Nick Catania. I have a lot of other names, but I can't say them in a G-rated sermon that I'm called by. Now, I'm a father, right? I'm a painter. I'm a technician. I'm a reverend. I'm a lot of different things. But there are none of those things are my names. Those things are titles that I hold. And depending on what child you talk to and what day of the week, I'm a good father or a bad father. That's how mad they get at me. Now, you have doctors, you have lawyers, you have police officers, these sort of things, but that's not their names. Counselor, that's not his name, that's his title. We understand this, right? Okay. Jesus is the name God chose to call his son by. That's what God chose his name to be, Jesus. Your name shall be what? Jesus. However, God also chose to designate his son by numerous titles. And there's a difference, as I taught you, between a name and a title. Jesus is his name, and it's a great name. It's a great name. I mean, if you were God, and this child that's going to be born is the Messiah, is the one spoken of since Genesis 3:15, would you give him a bad name?
Nope.
No, you'd give him the best name there was, wouldn't you? A name that when it was heard would command respect and awe. A name that when it was heard, its enemies would shudder at it. That's the kind of name that I would name my son if I knew he was going to accomplish those things. I wouldn't give him a weak name. I'd give him a good name. And Jesus is a good name because Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And God is proud of the name that he chose to give his son. God's proud of that name. That's a good name. He sat back and he said, yep, that's the name. That's a good name. I'm proud of that. And you want to know something else? Jesus Christ is proud of his father's choice of names. Now, especially if you got a girl child, at some point in their life, there, your girl child, your daughter, is going to come to you and say, why don't you name me such and such? Or I don't like the way my name's spelled. Do you ever meet a woman? I know a girl. Her name's Lori. And then when she got to be 22, her name's Laura. I got a sister who's named Marie. And then when she got to be, I don't know what time and age in life, now she is referred to as Maria. Right? They changed their names. Jesus never did that. Jesus, he said, "What's your name? My name is Jesus. I'm happy with that name." That's the name that God gave Jesus. You're going to be called Jesus. But God also gave him titles. He also designated him as certain one that would accomplish certain things. Christ is not Jesus' last name. That is not his last name. Okay? Christ is one of Jesus' titles. The word Christ, Christos in the Greek, it means the anointed one. That's what the word Christ means, the anointed one. Now the word Messiah, okay? Messiah. It's not in the New Testament. first of all. And that might seem strange to you, but it's not, because we say Jesus is the Messiah. But the word Messiah is not in the New Testament. The word Messiah is a translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach. The Hebrew word Mashiach means the anointed one, okay? So when you read the word Messiah in the Bible, it only appears two times, and it appears in the book of Daniel. And in both occurrences of that word Messiah are in the book of Daniel. It's a translation of the Hebrew Mashiach. Okay? Now, the Hebrew word Mashiach is translated Messiah two times in the book of Daniel. But the Hebrew word Mashiach is used throughout the Old Testament, where it's not translated Messiah, it's translated anointed. Anointed. So 28 times, I think. 27, 28, check me on it. Times in the Old Testament, Mashiach is translated the anointed one or the anointed. And two times it's translated Messiah. Messiah. So Messiah means the anointed one. The anointed one. Because it could have just as easily been translated anointed one in Daniel as it was used for Messiah. You with me? All right. Like I told you, the word Messiah is not used in the New Testament because the word Messiah is a translation of the Hebrew. And the Hebrew was in the Old Testament. The Greek was in the New. Now go to John chapter 1. Now you will remember that I taught you that the word Christos or Christ means what?
Anointed.
The anointed one. So Christ, which is a New Testament word, means anointed one. Messiah, which is an Old Testament word, means anointed one. Anointed one. When you get into the New Testament, it's Christ. But in John chapter 1, verse 41, talking about the disciples, he first findeth, John 1, 41, his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We have found the Messiah. The word Messiah is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Messiah. Okay? Messiah, Old Testament, Hebrew translation, Messiah, New Testament, Greek translation, which is being interpreted the what? The Christ. We have found the anointed one. The anointed. Now, the great depth of that lies in the King of the Kingdom, which I don't have time to go through right now. Look at John 4, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that what? Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he come, he will tell us all things. Again, this is the Greek form of the Hebrew Messiah. Messiah. I know that Messiah, but Messiah means Christ, the anointed one. She referenced the Old Testament prophecy of Messiah, of the anointed one, and says that I know that the anointed one is coming, and when he comes, he'll be called Christ, he'll be called Christos, he'll be called the anointed one. The anointed one. So Messiah, the Greek form of Messiah, is also interpreted as Christ the Anointed. That's Christ the Anointed. You find that in the first one we read, John 1:41. Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. The Christ. Messiah isn't his last name. Messiah is not his last name, nor is Christ his last name. All three of those words are used in the Word of God to designate a title of who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah, the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. His name is Jesus, but he also holds the title or designation of the Christ, the Messiah. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1. 1:1, Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. Son of God, is that his name or is that another title?
Title.
It's a title. Christ, is that his name or a title?
Title.
It's a title. Look at Job chapter 19. If you just want to listen, that's fine too. Verse 25. It says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." The word Redeemer is a prophecy referring to who? Jesus. See, because Jesus is not called the Redeemer in the New Testament. Look it up, you don't believe me. He is the Redeemer, but he's called the Redeemer by prophecy out of the mouth of Job. So Redeemer is a what? His name or a title?
It's a title.
Look at John chapter 21. Verse 21, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall so and forth and so on?" What did Peter call Jesus? He called him what?
Lord.
Lord. Is Lord his name or is Lord one of his titles?
Title.
It's one of his titles. John 1, verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" Then said, or they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Was Rabbi his name or his title? Was Master his name or his title? It was his title. John 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Is the words "Son of Man," is that his name or is that his title? It's a phrase used to describe who he is. It's a title. Son of God, Son of Man. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The word Savior, is that his name? No, it's his what? It's a title ascribed to Jesus to show a particular aspect of his life. You understand? Acts 3, verse 15. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead." Who is that talking about?
Jesus.
He's called the what? Prince of what? Life. It's called the Prince of Life. Again, words used, giving him a title to show who he is. Christ, Messiah, Messiah, Son of God, Redeemer, Lord, Son of Man, Rabbi, Master, Savior, Prince of Life. Let's close in 1 Peter. 1 Peter. John the Baptist. Okay, his name was John. His last name wasn't the Baptist, right? That was a title that designated him as the one who was doing the baptizing, right? He's called greatest among women, born at one point. Jesus says that of him. He's referred to in the Bible by other names. Different places in the Bible, their name is such and such, but a lot of times they're called by other names. Their titles: David the King, David the Shepherd, David the Sweet Psalmist, David the Warrior, David the Man of Blood, David the Man after God's Own Heart. You see? They're all titles. They're all associated with the one who is named David. Now, when I say David the Psalmist, he's functioning in what capacity? Right. And I say David the Warrior, he's functioning in that capacity, but it's still the same guy. David, a man after God's own heart, that's when he's doing the word of God, right? 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not what?
Away.
Here Jesus is referred to as who?
Chief shepherd.
The chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. Okay? All right. So, in closing, there is a difference between a name and a title. Okay? There's a difference between a name and a title. And what got me to thinking about this was when Jimmy taught in Philippians and said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every other name under heaven, in heaven, under earth, and everything else. They were bowing at his name. Now, they were bowing at his name because of everything that was associated with that name and everything that he accomplished with that name. Also, but as you begin to work the word name and you begin to see it associated with Jesus, you will quickly come to see that when people use the name of Jesus, things began to happen. See? Do you remember when he sent out the 70 and he said, they came back rejoicing, and they said, even the demons are subject to us through thy title. It didn't say that. It says through thy what?
Name.
Name. Remember in Mark 16, which says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In the title, no, it says in the what?
Name,
name of Jesus, you shall cast out demons, speak with new tongues. If you take up any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. If you drink something, it won't hurt you. And in thy name, what's his name? Jesus. You shall lay hands on what?
The
sick, and they shall what?
Recover.
Remember in the gospel where he says, what you ask the Father in my what?
Name.
He shall give it unto you, right? So even prayer itself is done in his what?
Name.
In his name. Now, if you want to put a title in back of his name or in front of his name, like Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ, that's okay. And I don't think it bothers God. I don't think it bothers Jesus. But what it says is that when you pray, you're supposed to pray in his what? So when you hear someone pray in the name of Jesus, it shouldn't bother you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happens? We're listening for someone to say Christ, like it's an incomplete prayer. That's right. That's not what the Bible teaches, though.
Amen.
Can you say Christ? Absolutely. If you want to. But the instruction was, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name.
Amen.
When you pray in my name. You ask the Father in my what?
Amen.
You know what John 12 says? You all know it. These things that I do shall you do also, because I go unto my Father. Then it says, in my name he will give you such and such and such and such. Okay? So, we'll develop this, and I'll show you how Christ and the anointing and all that stuff fits in as we go on. But it's amazing how you could read something and read over it for a long time and then just read the word for what it is. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, it's okay. It's a good name. It's the name that God chose to call his kid. And he's proud of that name. Jesus is proud to have that name. And I'm proud to be able to use that name to bring forth signs, miracles, and wonders. And you should be too. Okay? Lord, thanks for your word. Thanks for continuing to teach us and instruct us. And bring us along, Father, as we have meekness in our hearts to learn. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love Father. We love you, God. And we thank you for our Savior, our brother, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Okie doke. There's refreshments in the back. What do we have in the back anyway? Something's back there. Coffee's good.
What did you say?